But our message is going to come out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. However, before we get there, all the kids can be released to church, children's church. All the kids can go with Miss Michelle right there in the back. All right. While you're turning there, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. While you're turning there, I would like to... Who was here last time I preached? A month and a half or so. Thank you so much. You came back. Thanks. I appreciate it. Greatly appreciate it. But my message last time I preached was out of chapter 12, and this message is going to kind of carry on through what I started last time I preached. Paul was instructing us in chapter 12 about building the body of Christ. And I called my message God's bodybuilding plan, if you remember. How each one of us have been given a specific and unique gift to help build and strengthen the body of Christ. And we're all called to find out what that gift is and to be willing to use it for the glory of God. Amen? To discover and to be willing to use that gift is an act of faith. It's an act of service to the Lord. And by using that gift, not only do you bring glory to God, but you encourage your other brothers and sisters. Because the gift that you have, they might not have. The gift that I have, you might not have. And Paul used the comparison as the human body. How can the hand say to the foot, I have no need of you. I'm more important than you. Or how can the eye, you know, say to the fingers the same thing? We're all just as important in the sight of God as anyone else. And no matter what gift you have, whether it's a gift of teaching, whether it's a gift of service, working in the kitchen, if maybe it's a gift of music, no gift is more important or more valuable than the other, because we all need each other to fulfill God's purpose and plan in this local body of Christ. Amen? Amen? And he used the body as a comparison that though there's many members, there's only one head. Jesus is the head of the body. So everything that you choose to do with the gifts that God has given you, you're bringing glory and honor to him in fulfilling his purpose. Do you agree with that? Amen. This edifies the body. And this also not only gives you the opportunity to live a full, abundant life, but your gift is helping your brother or sister live the abundant life. It's a wonderful system. It's a wonderful thing that God planned out for us, that we all need each other just as we need him. Amen. Each one of us has value, just as much value as the other. Just last week, we finished up the VBS program, and what a fun time we had. And so many of you were a part of that. And that is a perfect example of how you stepped out in faith and used your gift to further the kingdom. It was so much fun. It built so much camaraderie amongst each of us. And yet we ministered to not only the children that come to our church, but so many children that don't even come to our church, that live in the community. They were touched by the gospel of Christ because you were willing to step out in faith and serve the Lord. That's what we're called to do, church. God didn't save us through the blood of his son Jesus just to come and play church and then live in the world 6.5 days later of the week. He's called us to serve him and love him, and live for him 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. This is what brings glory to him. Amen? Amen. So we had so much fun. And the message that we shared with the children was that Jesus rescues. And it was a really fun program. I'm sure a lot of you saw the stage downstairs and everything that was put together. It was a deserted tropical island, and someone named Jim Nolan was trapped on this island after a boating accident. and was hoping to be rescued, and then finally was rescued by Jesus. But the children learned that Jesus rescues us from our loneliness. Jesus rescues us from our failures. But most importantly, Jesus rescues us from our sin. In John 10:10, Jesus said that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come to give you life, and life more abundantly. Amen? This leads us into the next chapter of Corinthians, chapter 13. And I've titled the message, Profiting in God's Economy. Profiting in God's Economy. And preparing for this message, I ran across an interesting set of rules. Now, keep in mind, my message is called Profiting in God's Economy. And these rules were John D. Rockefeller's Rules for Getting Rich. We all know who John D. Rockefeller was, the oil baron of the 20th century. Three rules to get rich. Rule number one, go to work early. Rule number two, stay at work late. And rule number three, find oil. In Christian terms, translated in Christian terms, it would sound something like, do what you can as long as you can do it, and then pray for a miracle. My dad used to tell me when I was little, work as if it all depends on you, but pray as if it all depends on God. I still think about that today. And you know, thank God for miracles. And thank God for breakthroughs. But there is one section of Scripture in the Bible that gives us the ingredient that will help us experience a profitable life. We all suffer heartache. We've all been betrayed. We all thought this one person that we trusted would never betray us, and we find they stab us in the back. We've all been let down by somebody. But God has given us the ingredient in this passage of Scripture, written by the Apostle Paul, that will help us experience a profitable life. This is a very familiar passage, and I'm sure most of you have heard it over and over and over again. Written by the Apostle Paul, he gives this specific ingredient for a profitable life. And it's not about silver or gold. Instead, it's about something much, much more valuable and much more profitable. It's about love. God's kind of love. You've probably heard this scripture quoted at weddings, referred to as love towards a man and a woman, haven't you? But I really don't think that's what Paul was getting at when he wrote this scripture. So hang with me as we dig into this scripture. I think we've read this scripture so many times, and we just skim through the words. We really don't hear what Paul is saying in those words. So if you have your Bibles ready and open to chapter 13 of Corinthians, let's just read a few short verses, verses 1 through 7, and then we'll jump down to a couple other verses briefly. Chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, verses 1. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. These are some harsh words Paul's writing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I deliver my body to be burned, but do not have love, Listen to this. It profits me nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. And it is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. Does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Does not take into an account a wrong suffered. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but it rejoices with the truth. It bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things, endures all things. In the beginning of verse 8, it says, love never fails. And if you hop down to verse 13 in closing, but now abide faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Lord God, we just pray right now, Lord God, as we dig into your word this morning. I pray that you would speak through me, Lord God. Let this message come from you, Lord, that you would minister to each one of us and help us truly understand how deep your love is for us, so that we can share that love with those around us, not only those in the body of Christ, but those outside the body that so desperately need to feel and know your love. In Jesus' name, amen. The Word of God teaches that a life lived without love will not be a profitable life, Paul said. You can do all these religious things in the name of Christ, in the name of God. Look what I have done. I've done this. I've done that. But if you're not doing it out of the love that God has put in your heart for that particular person or those particular people that you're serving, your religious act is profiting you nothing in God's economy. For the righteousness of man, we taught in the Bible school last week, is like filthy rags. Our righteousness, the things that we think are so wonderful that we do, are nothing but filthy rags before the Lord. Pastor Mark had the children sit down in his class, and he had three crosses stood up. They were cardboard, but they were nicely made. And he had these strands of black cloth, and he called them oily, dirty, filthy rags. And the kids were like, "I don't want to touch those." But he had us, those of us that were helping, give each one of the kids this filthy, dirty, nasty black cloth. And as he preached his message, he explained to the kids that these cloths represent our righteousness, things that we are so proud of. But our righteousness before God is nothing but filthy rags. And then he explained Christ's forgiveness on the cross and how our righteousness comes from Jesus and not from ourselves. And then he had the children go up to the crosses and put those rags on the cross. It was a really wonderful demonstration of surrendering our lives to Christ and taking on his righteousness. But that's what Paul is explaining here. That our righteousness, all the wonderful religious things that are good, are done if you're not doing them with the right motive. And that motive is God's love. It's profiting you nothing before God. Now, we know that an evil man can still get rich in the world's economy. But that evil man, that wicked man, he will not live a profitable life according to God's economy. The things that eternally matter and that are really necessary for true fulfillment, they can't be found in the world's economy. They can't be found in the cash register drawer or in a bank vault or it doesn't matter how much money you have, how many possessions you have, true heavenly fulfillment can only be found in the human heart. And this is where God does his greatest work. Only God can change the human heart. But the miracle is one touch from Jesus can change the hardest heart. Amen? All of us in here can probably testify, once Jesus touched our hearts, we were changed. His love healed us from the pain of the past, healed us from the hurts that others had done to us. Only Jesus can change the hardest heart. Let's look at Paul, who wrote this passage, as an example. He was formerly called Paul. He was a strong-willed religious zealot, wanting to wipe out the Christian movement and kill anyone who followed this man named Jesus. But all it took was one touch from Jesus to change this wicked, vile man into a man of love. That's what God desires to do, is to change our hearts by washing us clean through the blood of Jesus. It takes love. It takes God's love, as defined here, to live a truly profitable life. The word love here is the Greek word agape. It is the God kind of love. And the reason so many people read this passage in weddings is they kind of get it mixed up with the romantic meaning of love between a man and a woman, affectionate love. But the word love in the Hebrew is agape, God kind of love. And the attributes of this love is committed. This love is steadfast. This love is selfless. It has the welfare of others in its crosshairs. Its aim is to benefit others rather than self. And as we look at the attributes of love that Paul outlines for us, how does it compare to our lives? How does it compare with the love that you are willing to share with others? Are these attributes that we just read shown in the way that we show love? Think of these attributes as the information God has given us to not live a bankrupt life. These attributes will give us the tools to live a profitable life in God's economy. This agape love will truly make us profit in God's economy. For time's sake, I'm not going to focus on all the attributes we just read. However, allow me to concentrate on a few. Love is patient. Love never gives up. There are no bookends and no limits to God's love. Winston Churchill once said, "God made a bulldog the way he did so that he can hang on and still breathe." Agape love, God's love working in us, empowers us to hang on and still love in the middle of the storm. Think of Jesus on the cross. He literally hung there on the cross while loving you. He hung there on the cross while loving you. More than likely, most of you have seen the poster of Jesus hanging on the cross, and underneath reads the words, "I asked Jesus, how much do you love me?" And he spread out his arms and said, "This much." Jesus is our example of this agape love, this sacrificial love that only comes from God. It takes the blows, but it never bows out. It is tenacious, tough, and true. Love cares more for others than for itself. Personal agendas, manipulating people, and selfish interests are a violation of this kind of love. Think again of Jesus' work on the cross. Who was he there for? The scripture clearly tells us that he could have summoned a heavenly rescue to save him from this burden. But you know what? He didn't. He remained on the cross for us. There is an old gospel song many of you probably have heard. It says, "While Jesus was on the cross, I was on his mind." This work of Jesus on the cross is how God has demonstrated this agape love, that we can receive it from him to share it with others. Romans 8:5-8 tells us, "But God demonstrated his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Our Heavenly Father was willing to demonstrate this agape love by sending his only Son to die for us, even while we were sinners, even while we were lost in sin. There was no evidence of us showing affection towards him at all. But his love, his agape love for us, is so strong and so pure and so real. He knew the only way to redeem us from our sin was to sacrifice his Son, Jesus. He demonstrated this agape love for us to receive and to share with the world around us. Jesus tells us in John 14:15, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." Jesus commands us to love. But not only commands us, he demonstrated his love for us. He also said, "What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and then lose his soul?" The profit of this world is temporarily satisfying. But Jesus tells us who have received his forgiveness, who have received this love that he has given us, to build up for ourselves heavenly wealth, riches and wealth to be stored in heaven. Matthew 6:20, "Store up for yourselves heavenly riches where moth and rust do not destroy." Jesus did come to give his life for us, but he also came to give us abundant life. And this life, this abundant life, is full of agape love. Matthew 22:37, he tells us, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." How can we say we love God if we turn our back on our neighbor? How can we say we love God if we see someone in need and we can meet that need, but we don't? The reason Jesus gave those two commandments, the religious leaders of the day, the oppression of the Jewish religion was so heavy on the people that no one could live up to them. Not even the high priests themselves could live up to every rule that they instilled on the people. And Jesus simply just said, you can sum up the whole law by these two things. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. This is agape love. And this is where you can gain truly heavenly riches and heavenly wealth. You see, you can do all types of religious acts, as we read in our text. You can give all you have to feed the poor and even give your body to be burned at the stake for the sake of the gospel. But if you do not do it with love in your heart, it profits you nothing. Paul, the author of this scripture on love, was a mean, vile man. Before he came to Jesus, he was one of those pious religious leaders of the day. And he did not want to be threatened at all by this new movement they called the Way. This man, Jesus, claiming to be God, who could heal the sick and forgive sin. No one can forgive sin but God himself. And Paul coordinated with the leaders, the high priest, to kill this man and to kill anybody who follows after him. And that's what they proceeded to do. He would kill anybody who was following this Jesus. Until one day, this same vile, evil man was changed by one touch of the Savior. And the same can happen to us. How many of us here have been going to church for 40, 50 years? And are we still holding on to that agape love that we first received when we experienced the love of Jesus? Have we become pious? Have we become so religious in our puffed up knowledge of, look how smart I am. Look at all the scripture verses I can quote. Look at all the good works that I do. And yet, curse your brother. Gossip about your sister. Has your heart grown cold? Has the love in your heart grown cold? Have you become nothing but a clanging cymbal, a noisy gong with all the self-righteous religious hyperbole? Jesus is speaking to us through the Apostle Paul. Return to me. Don't let your heart grow cold. Let my love burn hot in your heart. Rekindle the fire, the flame of true agape love. He's calling out to each one of us. Come back to me. Restore your relationship with me. For I love you. Don't let your heart grow cold. In closing, I'd like to share one illustration of a real-life sacrificial love. It's a true story of the Iraq War, 2008. I know many of you are veterans, and you probably know this, but the Army teaches a soldier, if he is in harm's way, and the enemy throws a grenade in your group, or wherever you're embedded, if you have the opportunity to escape that grenade blast, take it. But in 2008, when an Iraqi insurgent threw a grenade inside a Humvee where Private First Class Ross McGinnis manned the machine gun, he had time to jump from the turret and save himself. But he didn't. Instead, he yelled down to his buddies in the Humvee, "Grenade!" And he slid down the machine gun turret and fell on the grenade and took the blast and saved his four fellow soldiers' lives. During a solemn White House ceremony, President Bush presented the McGinnis's parents, Tom and Romaine, with a posthumous Medal of Honor for their son, who absorbed the grenade's impact and saved the lives of the other four men. This was sacrificial love. He gave himself to save his fellow soldiers. This is the nature of God's love for us. Love that we would sacrifice ourselves for the welfare of others. Jesus tells us they will know we are Christians by our love. Jesus said, just as I have loved you, so love one another. This is how to profit in God's economy. Love is the currency that God has given us to profit in his economy, to love him, to love one another, to walk in this agape love. Where are you this morning? I'm preaching to myself too, church. I've been saved 38 years. And I find over the years, it's easy to put up that wall when somebody betrays you, especially a brother or a sister. It's easy to harden. No, I'm not going there again. It's easy to say that. But that's not what God wants us to do. Jesus could have summoned heavenly rescue off that cross. And he could have said, no, too big of a price, not doing it. They're not going to appreciate it. He sacrificed himself willingly because he could see past the cross and see us all sitting here in 2018, saved by his blood that was shed over 2,000 years ago. It's worth it, church. It's worth it to keep a soft, compassionate, loving heart. And my message this morning, I feel God is speaking to us. Return to him. Forgive those that have hurt us. Let it go. Leave it at the cross. Love never fails. Amen. It's still a little early. I'm going to go to the piano and play one last song. But let's just take a few minutes and reflect on where our heart is right now and what God is doing in us this very moment. And if there's someone that we need to forgive, to release, let's do it. Let's do it this morning. So you are free and not held in bondage anymore, but yet God's love and his profit can be poured out amongst you. Amen.
You're the one who walked on water, and you come. has been to close this morning, and I really didn't know what he was going to preach on. But to show you how amazing God is, he just gives you things in your daily life that you don't really think much of. But I work in a hospital. I do hemodialysis, and I had the privilege of treating an older gentleman yesterday who had a very severe stroke. He couldn't speak. But his daughter was there, and she just impressed me. I was there for 4 hours, and she just loved on her father so much. She did everything to do that she could to make him comfortable. She, you know, asked him multiple times, what can I do for you? And you could just see the way she touched him, the way she looked at him, that she loved him dearly. But he couldn't speak. He was obtunded. He could not speak and return any communication to her other than look at her. And at the end of these 4 hours, you know, I thought to myself, what an amazing experience this has been, because this girl was able to show so much love to her father. I said to her, I said, your father must have been an amazing man, because you are returning the love that, you know, he's given you over the years. And at that point, she got kind of choked up and couldn't speak. But I said, you know, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. And I think that's what we need to do, is we need to let the Father love us. And as he loves us, we will be able to love others. And in closing, I would just say that if anybody needs prayer for anything, any ailments, we'll be happy to pray for you. There's several other elders here in the church that will be happy to pray for you. But let's go to the Father. Heavenly Father, what I witnessed yesterday was human love. And yet we know that there is a love that is beyond that, and that is the love that comes from the Father and Jesus Christ, your Son, Lord. And we're just so grateful for the opportunity to be called your children. We ask that you would just fill us with your Holy Spirit and fill us with your love, so that others might know, might come to know the Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you and ask your blessing as we go. Pray your blessing upon Mark and Stephanie and the family as they're away from us this week. We pray you give them a blessed week. Thank you, Jesus, for all you do. Amen.